Daf Yud. There's a pile of chametz, and in front of it are two houses that were both already checked for chametz. And a mouse came and took something from the pile and went into one of the houses, but we don't know which one it went into. So this is the same halacha as the case of two roads. What does that mean? A Mishnah says if there are two roads, one of which has a mace buried underneath it in a way that walking down the road, the person will surely become tamei mace, and there are two people. Each of them went down one of the two roads, but only one of them has the mace. So one of them is surely tamei, we don't know which one. So the halacha is as follows. Rabbi Huda says, if each of the people ask about their status separately, we can tell each of them that they are tarif. They ask together, we have to tell them they're tamei. Rabbi Yossi says, in both cases, we have to tell them that they're tamei. Rav explained that. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi agree that if they ask together, we tell them they're tamei. If they ask separately, we tell them they're tar. The machalikah says, when one comes to ask, but he asks about himself and the other guy. In that case, Rabbi Huda says, it says if he asked only about himself, and therefore he's told he's tar. Rabbi Yossi says, that's considered to have come and then asked together, and therefore they're both tamei. Same halacha would apply to the houses. If they asked separately, neither would need another badika. If they asked together, they would. If one asked regarding both of them, that would be subject to machalikah between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi. Next case, if we saw a mouse with chametz running, and we're not sure whether it ran into the house that was already checking chametz or not, if it went in bechlal, if it went in, the halacha would be the same as machalikah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan regarding the case of the open fields. The Mishnah says, when there's many adjacent open fields, and one of them has a maize buried in it, and one enters the fields during the winter, which is when you're not allowed to go there, so it has the dinner of Shusha Yochid, but it's not sure whether he entered the field with the tumma in it. So Rabbi Eliezer says he's tar, because when you're unsure whether you even entered a place of tumma, you're tar. It's only when you're unsure whether you touched the tumma that you'd be tummy in Rishus HaYochid. But the Rabbanan say he's tummy in this case. Here, and back to Chametz, we're unsure whether the mouse even went into the house, so he will not have to do another Bedikah. Because even the Rabbanan would agree in this case, because Bedikah is only in the Rabbanan. Next, if a mouse with Chametz went into a house and the homeowner did another Bedikah but found no Chametz, Allah will be subject to Machlay between Rabbein and the Rabbanan. The Mishnah says, Rabbein says anything that has a Chazokah of tumma can't break the status until we can determine the whereabouts of the tumma. The Rabbanan say we only have to dig down until we reach either a rock or virgin soil, and if we don't find a tumma at that point, we can assume it was removed. Similarly, in the house over here, if the house was searched for chametz and none was found, we can assume that it was removed from the house, even according to Rav Meir. In our case, why? Because again, because chametz only under Rabbanan. Next case, a mouse with chametz went into a house, and the homeowner did another badika and found chametz, but he doesn't know for sure if it was the chametz that was brought in by the mouse, or maybe it was different chametz. The halacha would be subject to machlokes between Rebbe and Rishon Gamliel in a braisa. The braisa says, if a grave was lost in a field, we don't know where it is, and someone goes into the field, he's tamei. If a grave was then found in the field, Rebbe says, we assume that the grave was lost is the one that we found. And therefore, someone who walks into the field won't become tamei anymore. Shimon Gamliel says we can't assume it's the same grave, and you have to continue to search the entire field. Similarly, when we assume whether we assume that the chametz found the chametz that was brought that was brought in by the mouse, will be subject to machlokes. Next case: if someone left over 9 pieces of chametz and later found 10 pieces, halacha will be subject to machlokes in the Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rabbi says if someone put a mana of ma'aser sheni money into a box and later found 2 mana, Rebbe says we assume 1 mana is the ma'aser that he put in, and another one is chulin someone else put in. Rabbanan say we assume that the ma'aser was removed, and both of them are chulin. Similarly, in this case, the Rabbanan would say we assume the 9 pieces that were there were moved somewhere else, and these 10 are new ones. Therefore, we'll have to search for the 9 pieces of chametz throughout the entire house. Rebbe says that these are the original 9, and someone added 1 piece, and nobody has to be done. Next case, if someone left over 10 pieces of chametz and later only found 9, the halacha would be subject to machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. The end of the previous braisa says if someone put 2 mana of ma'aser sheni money into a box and later found only 1 mana, Rebbe says we assume that 1 mana was taken, and the remaining one is the second ma'aser sheni mana. The Rabbanan say we assume that all the ma'aser was removed, and the mana found in the back is now chulin. So similarly, the Rabbanan would say that the 9 pieces found are not from the originally 10 that were left from before. And he has to go looking for all the missing 10 pieces of bread. The Rebbe said the 9 is from the original 10. He only has to go find that one missing piece. Next, if someone put chametz in a corner and later found the chametz in another corner, the halacha would be subject to machlokes between Rishon Gamliel and the Rabbanan. The Braisa says that if someone finds kelim in his house missing or moved around, the Rabbanan say we have to assume that someone came in and moved it around. Rishon Gamliel says we assume the owner moved it around himself and he forgot what he did. So similarly, the Rabbanan would say that we have to assume that a mouse moved the chametz, and the chametz found may not be the same chametz that was left. Rishon Gamliel says we assume that the owner moved it, and therefore no new badika would be necessary. Rav said if a mouse entered a house with bread in its mouth and the owner searched after it for chametz and found crumbs, he still has another badika, but he has to do another badika, because it's not normal for a mouse to leave crumbs to crumble the bread. Therefore, the bread has to still be somewhere in the house. Rav said if a child walks into the house with bread in his hand and the owner searched after it for chametz and found crumbs, then you don't have to do another badika. Why? Because it is typical for a child to crumble the bread, and therefore we could assume that this is the bread that the child brought in. Rava is, if a mouse walks into a house with bread in its mouth and a mouse walks out with bread in its mouth, could we assume it's the same mouse and the same piece of bread or not? So question number 2, if we assume that it's the same mouse and the same bread, what if it's a white mouse that walked in with the house and a black mouse that came out with the bread in the with the bread in the mouth from the same house? Could we say that the black mouse grabbed it from the white mouse and say it's the same piece of bread or not? Question number 3, if we say that one mouse would not take from another mouse, what if a mouse went in with the bread and a weasel came out with bread? Do we say that the weasel surely took it from the mouse? Or do we say it took bread, it's from somewhere else? Because if it would have taken it from the mouse, it would have killed the mouse, and it would have had the mouse in its mouth also. Question number four, if we said that the mouse would have to be in the weasel's mouth as well, so what if a mouse entered the house with bread, and the weasel came out with a mouse and a bread in the weasel's mouth, but it was separate? It wasn't the bread wasn't in the mouse's mouth. It was the weasel had two things in his mouth. Do we say that the bread was surely that of the mouse, or do we say that if it was from the mouse, it would have still been in the mouse's mouth? Or do we say that the mouse dropped it out of fright, and maybe it's truly the bread of the mouse? Teiku. Rava, if it says bread on a beam near the ceiling, do you have to get a ladder to bring it down, or simple bitl enough? Do we say that since it won't fall down, there's no concern that you come to eat it on Pesach? Or maybe since there is a small chance, you do have to take it down before Pesach? Question number two, if we say you have to take it down because there's a chance it will fall, what about chametz in a bar? Do you have to get a ladder to go down and get it, or not? Do you say that since it won't come up on its own, there's no concern that he'll go down and eat it? Or maybe you say that there's a chance it will be down there on Pesach, you have to get rid of it now? Question number three, what if there's bread in the mouth of a snake? Do you have to hire a professional to get the bread out of the snake? Or do we say that the rabbanon only require you the things that you can do on your own, not that you have to hire money, you spend money to hire people to do other things for you? The Mishnah Behuda says you have to do bedika on the night going into the 14th, the morning of the 14th, and at the time that he destroys the chametz. The chametz say if you didn't do bedika on the night, you do it in the morning. If you didn't do it then either, you do it at the time of destroying the chametz. If you didn't do it then either, you do it the rest of the day on the 14th before nightfall. Whatever chametz one leaves over after the bedika should be put in a secure place, so you shouldn't be required to do another bedika. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that three bedikas have to be done? Rav Chisna and Rabbi Arvuna say it's because there are three times the three words used in the pasuk to refer to the destruction of chametz: Yeroya, Yimotze, and Tashbisu. Therefore, it's three bedikas. Bryce says, Rabbi Yehuda says, if someone was not baidik during these three times, he can't be baidik anymore. It seems that he only argues about a badika after these times, but agrees that only one badika has to be done in these times. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. All agree that only one badika has to be done. Rabbi Yehuda says that one may not do a badika once the Isra Chametz has begun, because we're concerned that if he's searching for the Chametz, he may eat the Chametz that he finds. The Rabbanan are not concerned for that, and therefore they say that even after the Zman Isra Chametz, he still can do a badika.